Blog Talk Radio.
No, if I want to get to me, shall we rush back? And you won't wait long at last. Time that is next, shall we rush back?
God bless you. This is Dr. Morgan here with you again on this wonderful radio station. I am delighted to be able to come into your home today. We thank God for you. Glory to God. And we are listening to Fred Hammond, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We thank God for that song, and we thank God for him. And I want everyone to know that's listening to me tonight that God is with you, and he's going to do what he said he could do. Amen. Just hold on and watch him move in your life. He hasn't forgotten about you. Amen. He's there with you. I want you to hear just a little bit, and we're getting ready to go into our radio broadcast for tonight. Amen. I want you to call someone, if you would, if you're listening by internet, and if you're on your phone, I understand. But get a pencil and paper and begin to take down notes, because we have an interesting subject today. Just a few minutes of this song, and we'll be right back. God bless you. We thank God for that song, and we praise God for you tuning in with us here on tonight. Amen. On this wonderful, wonderful radio station. Amen. I'm Dr. Morgan, Ulysses Morgan Jr., and we are here to give you another segment of what we're going to be talking about tonight. We had some guests that we were hoping to call back so we can, amen, get with them and talk with them concerning this particular message that we're going to have tonight. But first of all, I want you to know that I'm renaming my radio show. It's going to be called Let's Talk Bible. Amen. Let's Talk Bible. Amen. And this is what we're going to be talking about, glory to God, as we come on. We're going to talk about things of the Word of God that pertaineth to life. So we want you to bear that in mind and keep that, in your spirit. Now, the next topic that we're going to be talking about is going to be a topic concerning relationships. Glory to God. We're actually going to be talking in reference of marriages, but the topic is going to be called relationships, because I think that this is what we need to understand in order to get the blessings. I'm going to have a word of prayer right now, and if you would like to call in and join me in this segment, you can do so, glory to God, by calling 347-996-3033. Some of you are already on the air. You're already on the phone, glory to God. You can join in. Just let me know if you're joining in and you have a question or a comment that you want to ask or add to this particular broadcast. But I think it is a very important topic. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this particular radio station, this radio broadcast, and those that are tuning in with us. We found, oh God, that there are many who are listening in right now, so I'm very careful about what I teach on this radio broadcast. Very careful, because your people are listening, and you've called me to deliver unto them what thus saith the Lord by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of the living God, please give clarity now to me that I may relate what you said to them, that we may understand the route that God would have us to take in order to enjoy a more abundant and prosperous life. For Jesus, you said in your word, John 10:10, he recorded it after you spoke it and said, you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We are claiming that abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about this subject, and it has come up several times. Amen. It has come up with me. It comes up in my Bible classes that I have. And I think that it is a very important topic that we need to understand. There are many books out on it. There are many tapes out on it, CDs, movies, TV shows, glory to God, out on it. And we wonder why it seems as though marriages are not actually lasting for long periods of time. Amen. There is a reason. We know that there is an enemy that tries to destroy it, but we're going to give you, hopefully, some insight. And as I said, I was hoping that some of my guests would come on because every marriage is different. You cannot compare my relationship with yours. Every relationship is different because you have people of different personalities. But we all ought to agree on a common ground of understanding what causes relationships to stick together. Glory to God. Many preachers have come and teachers have tried to teach you concerning marriage, and it's good to do that, but you cannot do that based on what I've been through. You can't do it. I can't do it based on what you've been through. But there are principles that we need to go by, that we need to submit to. And as we submit to those principles, we can't help but live a prosperous and abundant life in the marriage circle that we're in. We have to understand this. This is important. It's important. Amen. So we ask the question a lot of times, is there any more value to a marriage today? We see, amen, divorces left and right, and we wonder why. And I want to say this, please understand, you cannot condemn people because they have divorced. Amen. You don't know the situation or circumstances. You don't know who to blame. All you know is what you heard. And there are certain situations in life that is so very important to understand that we need to keep, if I can just say it in layman terms, our nose out of it, out of our business, glory to God. So we have to understand that. Amen. We need to define where it came from and why so that we can definitely, amen, identify the blessings or the consequences that follows, amen. So we have to understand this. This is important. Everything that you do in life when you get married, amen, when you are engaged to get married, everything after that stems from your relationship with your spouse. Glory to God. This is why, and let me say this, because I've heard so many times as I was pastoring that we hear people often say, especially women, I don't need no man. I don't need no man. And then you very seldom you hear men say that, but you hear women say that, and that's totally contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Now you don't need a man in the sense that you don't have to go out and make one or find one or decree one. Glory to God, that you want or make a marriage. You can hold your ground until the right person comes by, but there is a desire there. There is a desire. There is a desire in the flesh. There is a desire in the spirit to have companionship. And when you are one who is relating to the public that you don't need that type of companionship, then you automatically know that it's not of God. What you're saying is not of God. Now let's go. We're going to go to some very familiar passages of Scripture. Amen. And we're going first to Genesis, the second chapter. And I want to share this with you. Genesis, the second chapter. If you can turn there, you can follow me as I read. And we're going to read here at the second chapter, starting at the 20th verse. Listen to what this Bible says now. This is not me. This is the Bible. And Adam gave names to all cattle and all the fowls of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. Now, if I can back up a little bit, let's go to the 18th. Let me back up. 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. It is not good. Now, who said that? God said it. I didn't say it. God said it. Society didn't have to tell you that. God saw Adam, the man that he made, and yet when he made him, there was yet something that he needed within himself that God hadn't provided yet. And he said, and he saw it and said, it's not good that this man should be alone. Look what he says, I will make him a help meet or compatible for him. I will construct a mate that is conducive to what he needs. Amen. Then we go on down and read the 20th verse. Amen. And we found Adam gave name to every creature. Amen. And the Bible said, but for Adam there was not a help meet for him. 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought the man, brought her unto the man. Now notice this. Look what he made. He made, the Bible says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took the rib and closed it up. Amen. And the Bible said in 22nd verse, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Not him, her unto the man. Glory to God. We must understand that principle, because any other way is against the principles of God, and you cannot go against the principles of God and expect to prosper. It will not work. Glory to God. Cannot do that. You cannot go against the principles and the foundation of this Bible when it comes to marriage and expect to worship God, to go in and give God glory. What kind of glory are you going to give him when your relationship is out of context with the Word of God? Oh, my goodness. We have to understand that. Now, notice this. He says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, he says, now this is bone of my bones because something transpired, and we can see it in the 24th verse. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, it was a transition from woman to wife because something took place to cause that to happen. Amen. He just didn't call a wife. Something took place. They had an intimate relationship. Amen. They came together sexually. They came together. And when they came together in that manner, she then became his wife. Now, I'm not giving nobody an excuse just to go out and decide you want to label somebody and then call wife. The Bible still speaks that we should obey the laws of the land. Glory to God. So therefore, get a certificate, get a marriage license, get what you need to have. But my point is that she transitioned from being a woman to a wife, because now she has fulfilled the need of the man that God saw that he needed. Now, somebody might want to ask the question, what else did Adam need? Adam didn't need anything else. Adam had all he could eat. Adam had the animals there. Adam, you know, had everything else. He was equipped with everything else he needed except female companionship. So don't tell me you don't need nobody. Amen. Because when you say that, you're going against the principles of God, and you make God a lie. Amen. Glory to God. So we have to understand these things. Now, I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, which we're going to really get involved in this now, because now we're going to see what it takes, glory to God, so that we can make sure that the marriage is knitted together. See, in Bible days, they learn how to love each other. Somebody said, well, it's love at first sight. Well, I kind of have to think about that, because in biblical times, not only did they marry young, but they learned how to love each other. The Bible said when Abraham sent for a wife for his son, Isaac, that they brought her back, and as soon as she saw him, they told her that was the man. She got off the mule, covered her face, went in his mother's tent. They came together in the tent, and the Bible declares that now she became Isaac's wife, and they learned to love each other. They had just met, but they learned, and this is what is supposed to happen. The longer you are married, the more in love you're supposed to become. The enemy always tips things backwards for the people of God, especially for us, the earth as well. The longer you are married, the more you're supposed to be in love. Amen. But it seems like the longer we're married, the farther away we pull, because there is a spirit that's tugging against the marriage that you don't even realize if you haven't been taught. Glory to God. Listen to this. I've often said, and I'll say it again, everything in life that is successful, whatever you do in life that is successful, you have to be taught. You have to be taught in some manner or way how to do it. You may have a gift, a talent of doing certain things, but there's still pointers that some people had to give you. Glory to God. We have colleges. We have schools that teaches us certain things that we want to learn. And as a human being, when we come into this world, we're taught, glory to God, the child is taught how to hate. They're taught how to, you know, be prejudiced. They're taught how to love. They're taught how to share. They're taught how to be stingy. They're taught these things. And the marriage system is the same way. You have to be taught. How many times have we seen people who have gotten married that haven't been taught? They don't know symptoms of defrauding one another. They don't know that. You have to be taught as to how to be a husband. You have to be taught how to be a wife. Very few homes teach this. Very few churches teach this. Glory to God. Solomon, in the Songs of Solomon, speaks of marriage, speaks of the love between a woman and a man. A lot of people say that's just an interpretation of what he wants us to know about God. No. It's what he wants to know about God when it concerns a male and female companionship. And we have to be taught these things. Where do you get this teaching from? How many religious temples that you go to that teaches you and makes a priority of teaching you how love your spouse, how to knit your marriage together? You don't go outside of the house. You don't defraud. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. I've got to go there because I am going to overjump myself here. So let me read it. 1 Corinthians 7th chapter, 1st verse. Not concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Don't be feeling, don't be touching, don't be doing all this. This is Paul talking. Amen. This is Paul talking. Now look what he said. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Not somebody your own. Get one that's yours. Get one. Don't have one and then one another. Get one that's yours. Amen. Now I want to say this while it's fresh on my mind, because there may be many of you that are watching that may be in a category that I am. I've been married before. Amen. I'm married now, but I've been married before. Many of you have been married before. And one of the first things that I came in contact with when I started pastoring, that there was a lot of people that was traditionalized, amen, in the deep south of Georgia. Amen. They were traditionalized concerning second marriages. That means that you got to be dead before you go and marry, and if not, you got to go back to your first wife, which is stated in the law. Glory to God. Amen. But you got to understand the principle here with that. When God wrote that, when he meant that, he meant what he wrote. But when he wrote that, amen, he wrote that to people, glory to God, who are supposed to be righteous people, who are supposed to contend to the righteousness of the law. When God brought Eve to Adam, he didn't bring Eve to a wife beater. He did not bring Eve to a degrader. He did not bring Eve to a non-provider. He did not bring Eve to somebody that hated her. He brought Eve to a righteous man, glory to God. And when you get married, this is what's supposed to happen. Adam loved Eve. He loved Eve as he loved his own body, glory to God. And this is what is supposed to happen. And God did not bring Adam, glory to God, a woman with a spirit of control. He did not bring Adam, glory to God, with a spirit of takeover. He did not bring Adam, a woman full of spirits, glory to God. He brought Adam a righteous woman who fell in love with him and loved him, glory to God. So now when you get married, the question is, amen, is that companion that you were with righteous? And if they violated the law, Romans 7 chapter says they have spiritually died already concerning the covenant that God had placed in the law. I could go on and on about that, but you call in or you write me, and we'll discuss it a little further if you want to. But now let's look at the third verse here in 1 Corinthians 7 chapter. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto her husband. Amen. Which means that you can't just walk away and keep busy all day and just say, I love you, honey, and just keep busy. You got to spend time with each other. Give her the love that is due her, man. Let the boys go. Come off from work. Amen. Get out the car. Stop washing the car. Amen. Glory to God. Stop running around. Give the woman the time that she needs. And give the man the time that he needs. Do benevolence. In other words, what's owed to her? Man, you got to give it to her. What's owed to her? A woman is emotional. A man is not emotional. A woman is emotional. I don't care what you are not needing. You still have to supply and provide the need of the emotions of the woman. I give my wife roses. I let her know I love her. I bring her candy. I find out what's her favorite candy bar. Sometimes the little simple things. I'm not a millionaire yet, glory to God. I believe God's going to bless me. I don't have a lot of money to buy a lot of things. I want to get my wife great things, glory to God. And she mentioned some great things. And I know the time is going to come when I'm going to be able to do that, glory to God. But right now I have to find out what the simple things are. Amen. What's her favorite candy bar? What's her favorite flower? Something that I can do right now to show her the emotion of love from her husband. She don't need to get it from nobody else. She needs to get it from her husband. Glory to God. Well, I work all day. Well, stop working all day. Just do what you're supposed to do and come home and spend. spend the time that's needed. This is why so many marriages are lost. Glory to God. Let's go a little bit further here. Amen. Fourth verse. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. It says in the fifth verse, defraud ye not one to another, except it be a consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not of your incontinency. Defraud ye not. Glory to God. Your body is not yours. This is biblical law. This goes for, listen, marriage comes from the Bible. It didn't come from the world. It didn't come, it came from God. It didn't come from the world. It didn't come from the secular system. Marriage is a spiritual institution. It came from God. And if it came from God, we have to comply with the rules and instructions to make sure that it works properly. And one of the things that we must understand we've got to do, not only give them due love and emotion, but we also, the Bible says, that your body is not yours, it's hers, man, and her, your body, miss, is not yours, it's your husband. Which means that when they feel the need to come together, it is inappropriate. It is not a righteous thing. It, in a sense, if I can put it bluntly, it is an abomination. It is a sin to say no when there's no earthly reason to say no. Matter of fact, it's not even good to say no. Even when you can't, even when you're sick, even when something happened, there's an explanation that needs to be made. And my brother, you need to understand when your wife's body is not able to take it right then. You're not going to perish. You're not going to die. You will survive. You don't need to go nowhere else. Your love should be right there in the house. And it may not be that she can do what she needs to do at the time that you want, but there should be a logical explanation. My sister, a logical explanation. Glory to God. As to why you don't feel like it. As to why you can't. Oh, glory to God. And see, the thing is this. And I've had problems, and I know many of you have had problems. See, don't you cannot tell the brother that I don't feel like it, and I'm tired, and I'm run down, and I want to rest right now. And then when sister or brother comes over, or a coworker comes over, you get up and get full of energy all of a sudden. Don't let the enemy destroy you like that. Defraud ye not one from another, except it be a consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and to prayer. My time is just about up. I haven't even hit the crust of this. And maybe I'll bring it. Write me right now. Write me, P.O. Box 492 in Cordial, Georgia. If you write me, I guarantee you, I'll get back with you. You can write me with the question. You can write me with the comments. You can write me and let me know how you feel about this broadcast. We'd love to hear from you. If you would, please, we thank you for tuning in today, and we hope we've said something to encourage you and try to pull together. My purpose is always to edify, glory to God, and not to tear down anything but what the enemy has brought forth. So pray for me as we pray for each other as we go forth, and I thank God for you. My wife is not here now. She's in a meeting. Hopefully next time she'll join me, glory to God, and we can come together and show you the biblical principle of what love is all about, what it's supposed to be. So until our next broadcast, always remember, now write this down, P.O. Box 492, Cordial, Georgia, 31010. Love to hear from you. Till our next broadcast, God bless you. And God keep you. Amen. is our solemn prayer, and we thank God for you today. Amen.
For this man set fire in me, then I'm gonna learn the stuff. The devil tried to come and catch a child, and he's coming against the children of America to steal the righteous seed. It's not gonna work, it's not gonna work, it's not gonna work.
Visiting Mr. Markham anyway.
Thank you. Thank you.